Hello, hello, and welcome to Self-Care is Sexy. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week, I rolled out self-care tips for the holiday season. We talked about self-care during possible travel, and we even had a little homework assignment for our listeners. I'm super excited to announce that we still have one free ticket left to give away to this year's Portland Podcast Festival. So if you missed that assignment from last week and you need to cheat off another student, cue up last week's episode, follow the instructions, and you could win a ticket to the live show of Self-Care is Sexy podcast. Okay, real quickly, I want to give you a preview of what you can expect from today's show. I am super pumped to be addressing this week's topic, and I actually, you know what, you guys, I deal with this all the time. It's something that frankly, I think it gets overlooked or kind of, you know, brushed under the rug, but this really needs to be addressed. And so today we're going to be talking all about overstimulation. Everyone has experienced it at some point in their lives. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of us are dealing with overstimulation on a daily basis. So today we're going to be talking about how to recognize when you are getting overstimulated, how to combat it, and then I'm going to give you 10 different self-care ideas on how to recover from overstimulation. Lots of really great tips and ideas, so let's get ready for some self-care goodness. Real quick though, I do need to get a few housekeeping points out of the way. So number one, I want to send a huge shout out to those that were able to join me for our monthly Self-Care is Sexy brunch. Thank you to Eve, Sarah, Kate, Sparks, Sam, Dimitri, Shayna, Kelly, and Anna. You guys are super awesome and it was so much fun to hang out and talk self-care. We had a really great time and a lot of really awesome tips going on. It was the largest brunch so far. If you weren't able to make it, not to worry. I'm going to be hosting our next brunch coming up December 17th. Now, you know, we typically, I usually host my brunches at the end of the month, but you know, because of the holidays and such, wanted to get a chance to check in with folks before we ramp up into the holiday hectics. If you need more details, find me on Facebook. Just search Self-Care is Sexy and look for the little pink heart. All right, number two, as I mentioned before, this podcast, Self-Care is Sexy, is being featured at Portland's first annual podcast festival, and that's coming up on December 2nd at the Hawthorne Theater. I'll be doing a live show, of course, selling some of my tank tops and swags, and there'll be some fun prizes to give away. There's also going to be 12 other local podcast shows to check out and a sick after party with some bands and local beers, of course. So if you'd like to come out, meet me in person and check out the show and also some other really great podcasts, we've even got some beer drinking to do and some rocking out. So this event is going to be awesome. Again, that's coming up December 2nd. Tickets are on sale at pdxpodfestival.com. All right, number three, I just mentioned I'm going to be selling some swag at the podcast festival, but I want to let you guys know that just in time for the holidays, I'm going to be opening up the shop again on my website. That's www.selfcareissexy.com. So if you know someone on your list that could use a little self-care sexy reminder, you'll be able to get them a cool tank top, t-shirt, sticker, or a cinch sack and all that swag. That's coming up real soon. All right, all the housekeeping is done for the week. We've actually got a lot of ground to cover today, so you know what? Let's just dive in. If you're listening in real time, today is Thanksgiving here in the United States, and I want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. And yes, this means it's officially holiday season. And that can mean, you know, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean a lot of social gatherings. There's lots of family get-togethers and just all-out overstimulation. You know, we've got the TV going, blaring out the football, or the music's tuned up. There's tons of people and conversations and food and expectations. And it can just, you know, it can get a little overstimulating. And so, you know, so what does that mean? So, well, you guys know, I always like to start out my topics with a definition because I really like all of us to kind of be on the same page and just have that baseline to work from. So first of all, overstimulation, or better put, sensory overload, occurs when one or more of the body's senses experiences overstimulation from the environment around us. So, you know, that's all those outside forces that can, they can affect your internal senses. And let's just go over the senses real quick so we're kind of all at the same baseline. So they are sight, sound, touch, smell, and taste. And of course, that sixth sense is your ability to perceive or perception. And we'll touch on that a bit later, but right now let's just focus on those core five. So if any one of those senses or a combination of them become overloaded, it can really have dire consequences, including like long-term negative effects, such as, you know, like increased stress and anxiety, which who needs more of that, right? Nobody, right? We need to decrease the stress and anxiety and get to that place where we can, you know, really, really relax through life and really enjoy. And I was actually thinking about this the other day. There are an overwhelming amount of environmental elements that can really overstimulate our senses. Some examples, just to kind of get you thinking about it, is, you know, like crowding, like at school or a mall or an airport or something like that. Noise, like I was talking about, the TV squawking or blaring music, sirens, those kinds of things. But another form of sensory overload actually comes from the mass media. You know, like the ad after ad on Facebook feeds or the clickbait crap. All of that stuff, and of course technology in general, and just the expansive growth of information being thrown at us on a daily, right? All of those are examples of sensory overload or overstimulation. It also includes things that you wouldn't think of or typically that don't come to mind, like clutter and body temperature. Those are examples of overstimulation. So, you know, in general, I guess to kind of simplify this, overstimulation is just being bombarded with like sights and sounds and feelings. And I'm sure you've had experiences with this. I mean, hopefully it's not constant, like some of us have to deal with it constantly, but you know, it can manifest in many different ways. It can, you know, it can cause eye strain, that racing feeling that you're completely out of control, all of that. But all that overstimulation, it's not always coming from negative places, right? It can actually come from positive places that you wouldn't think of. So a good example of that is, like, think of a time you went to, like, a friend's party, and it was, like, out of control, sick, crazy, right? Like, tons of people, maybe that you don't know that well, loud music, you know, maybe there's alcohol involved. Or have you ever had the opportunity to go, like, to a big sporting event, like, even, like a football game or a basketball game, or maybe even just something cool, like a fundraiser or something like that? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where overstimulation, it happens to us all. And it doesn't have to be, like, a major event. It can also be when you're just at your regular job or when you're just hanging out with friends. So now that you've got kind of an understanding, right, about what overstimulation looks like, let's get to how to recognize when you personally are getting overstimulated, because it's really important. I actually had a conversation with some incredible ladies last night about overstimulation and about how we respond to it, and how it's really important to really know yourself. And that is the basis for self-care in general. You can't know how to fix a problem unless you know how to recognize it. So some of the first signs that you're overstimulated or that you're experiencing that sensory overload, it can be headache. Especially if you don't suffer from migraines on a chronic basis. If you know that, you know, if you get a headache and it's like, wow, that's really random sauce, I don't ever get headaches, you might start to think about, well, am I being overstimulated? What's going on? And you know what, you guys, your body, it's trying to communicate with you all the time. So look for that next time you're out and about and you're feeling one of those headaches come on, and look to see if there's something in your environment that's just a little too much for you. Blurred vision is another great subtle example for you to kind of see and kind of be alerted to that you might be overstimulated. Another example is spacing out or checking out. That's a good sign too. So let's say you're at the party, right? Or a sporting event or whatever, and you find yourself like staring off into space, and somebody calls your name and it jars you back into reality, right? That's a good sort of trigger or sign to know that you might be getting overstimulated, because your body naturally and your mind naturally want to check out when you're being overstimulated. So, you know, and in those events, at those situations, the reality is you should be really focused on what you're doing and excited to be there. But when it, you know, becomes overwhelming, that's when you start to see these triggers come up. And, you know, another good example is like becoming randomly tired or fatigued when you know that you've been rested. So it's really not, it doesn't make sense that you'd be nodding off or dozing. That's another way that your body just naturally tries to cue you like, hey, a little too much going on, I need a break. Another way to recognize when you're getting overstimulated is when your mood shifts, right? Or your behavior. So you're out, you're having a great time, you're dancing with friends, and all of a sudden you're just not into it, right? And you switch your focus to something super negative, right? That's a great indication that you're becoming overstimulated. Another bit of examples for you is irritability, shutting down, avoids touching or being touched. So if you find, you know, that you've got you're out at an event or something like that, and you find yourself with your arms crossed and you're just kind of pulling your body into itself. And so be aware of your body language. That's a really good cue. Or on the opposite spectrum, if you find yourself getting way too overly excited, right? Like somebody says, yeah, I took my dog for a walk, and you're like, oh my God, that's great. Like clearly something's not matching your body and your behavior trying to tell you something. Or if you, another great example that you're overstimulated is you start to shield your eyes from light, or rubbing your temples, you know, making that sort of headache face that everyone makes when they get to that point. Maybe making poor eye contact. If you're someone who genuinely engages with people and you like to interact with people, if you find yourself avoiding eye contact or avoiding connecting, that could be a good sign that you're overstimulated, you're overloaded, your senses need a break. Another example is that you complain about noises that do not affect others. So, and I deal with this all the time. I'll often say like, God, the TV is so loud, and everyone around me will be like, are you kidding? We can barely hear it. So that's a good indication that you're overstimulated. There's too much going on. Another indication that you're overstimulated is, you know, having difficulty focusing. You just can't seem to get your head on straight, and everything you're doing is disjointed. That's a real good time to check in and see, you know, am I maybe engaged in a little too much? Is there a little too much going on for me? Another example is constantly changing your activities and never actually completing a task. And this, I bring this up like for those of you that work in really busy, loud, noisy scenarios, right? If you find yourself at work and you're normally very productive and you've got a system and you've got your time management tools in place, and all of a sudden you find, you know, you're being counseled, or your productivity has taken a nosedive, or you just genuinely find yourself hating work. Like maybe you need to take a look at the environment that you're in and see if that's perhaps a cause, and maybe ask for some accommodations to change that. You know, and this is a little off topic, but I do want to bring it up. I think so often we don't stand up for ourselves in the workplace to say, hey, I need an environment that's conducive to my well-being. And, you know, you're there, you're at work more than you are anywhere else in your life. And for those of us, that can be a great thing, right? You know, you could love your job and work is great. But don't be afraid to ask for different things in your environment that are going to help you work better. Whether it's a better chair, maybe a quieter workspace, maybe you need the lights adjusted, maybe you need to switch your schedule to be more conducive to your sleep habits. Whatever it is, don't be afraid to stand up and say, hey, I'm here, I'm working for this company, I'm doing this thing, I've got this project, I'm putting my energy into it. Let's make the environment that I do that in conducive to me. All right, guys, I'll get off my soapbox, but just, hey, that's real important. Don't forget that. Another example that you might be overstimulated is oversensitivity to touch, movements, sights, or sounds. I think we kind of covered that, but I think it's really important to pay attention that, let's say you're out and about and you know, you've got a pal there and they go to like rub your shoulders. And typically, you know, and again, consent is key, but let's say that you guys normally have this kind of physical interaction and it's normally doesn't bug you and it's cool, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, don't touch me. And you like shy away and like you know, shrivel away from the touch, that's a good indication that you're being overstimulated. Another sort of subcategory of that is like if your watch is super irritating to you and it's something you wear every day, so it shouldn't be, or clothes that don't fit snugs feel really constrictive, maybe you're just overstimulated and you need to change your circumstances, your surroundings, or maybe just change your clothes. Another example is having trouble with social interactions. I kind of covered this earlier with the party example, but again, it's just about being aware of, you know, my behavior is normally this. There's no reason I shouldn't be XYZ, but you find yourself in a different headspace. And it's just, sometimes we, you know what people do? They fucking blame themselves. They take a look at their behavior and they're like, oh, I'm just not myself today. I don't feel myself. And they automatically blame themselves, like they are doing something wrong. When in reality, it could just be the environment. It could just be that you have hit the sensory overload and your body and your behavior are trying to communicate with you to get out, to go be quiet. We're going to talk about some tips on how to combat the overstimulation. Another example is having muscle tension or fidgeting and restlessness. Another example is angry outbursts. If you find yourself like snapping at someone for absolutely no reason when it's completely unwarranted, don't necessarily assume that that means you're just a giant asshole who can't control their behavior. It could be that you're in an environment, there's something around you that's really irritating, and you might not be able to pinpoint exactly where the overstimulation is coming from, but just being aware that like, oh, hey, I remember I heard it on that podcast that this is possibly me being overstimulated. What could it be in my environment? Is there some loud noise going on? Is there, you know, people rubbing up against me and I don't like it? Or, you know, am I smelling something that's really irritating me? Or experiencing an irritant and just need to change the environment? Another example is sleeplessness or fatigue and difficulty concentrating. So we've kind of, you know, we've covered all these different examples of what overstimulation looks like and how you can spot it. And it's extremely important that you build into your self-care practice spotting when you're overstimulated. And again, not turning that around and blaming yourself for like, why can't I just be normal or what's wrong with me? You know what? There's nothing wrong with you. There's something happening in your environment that's affecting you. And you know what? There's a lot of things in our environment that we are not consciously aware of. There could be a trigger event being set off by another, something that's happening down the street. Somebody told me, and this is amazeballs, I just learned this, that when you smile, that literally someone 3 blocks away can feel the effects of that smile. So I would think that the converse is true, that when there could be some force out there in your environment that you're not conscientiously aware of that is really overstimulating you on a subconscious level, and it's not necessarily that, you know, you have any control over it. So just try to give yourself some grace and some leeway and know that on different days, different things can overstimulate you, and these are some examples to be aware of. Now that you have like what to look for, the challenge becomes, okay, how do I combat this overstimulation? Well, like I said, the first thing you have to do is just recognize like when this is happening and just make that bold decision to take care of your needs first. Now, this is the basics of self-care. You have to take action to help bring you out of the stimulation that's causing this overstimulation. And I have found that the best way, I've got some tips for you on how to combat that overstimulation. And number one, the best way to prevent overstimulation is to keep a schedule. Now, this can be repetitive and it's not the army. You don't have to be militant about it. But do try to have like a semi-daily routine. You know, it's going to help level you out. And that routine obviously should include some flexibility, but restrictions on the social events. So one of the biggest causes of overstimulation is constant social event after social event after social event, right? So, you know, maybe you have a routine that looks like wake up at 6 a.m., get ready for the day, whatever that looks like for you. You know, maybe plan in that meal time, and whatever, and then you go through your working day and whatever, and then you've got your end of the day practices, and you know, hopefully you've got some physical activity and stuff, and you know, you really want to make sure you have like kind of a semi routine bedtime. And I know for me, you guys, that routine, it's been all over the place lately. And guess what? I have found myself completely overstimulated in situations that don't normally bother me. So while I'm all for, you know, live freely and fly by the seat of your pants, it's also good to have kind of a semi-routine in there. Number two on how to combat the overstimulation, join me in No Technology Tuesdays, okay? So one of the most overstimulating things that we deal with is technology. And if you don't currently have like a scheduled timeout from all this shit, the email, the Facebook, the Instagram, the technology, I highly recommend it as a way to combat the overstimulation. Leave your phone at home on Tuesdays, you know, and if someone needs to get a hold of you or it's urgent, make sure they have your work number or set up a check-in time or whatever you need to do to have space without technology. And you know what? As a sidebar, I just want to point this out. I used to be able to find my way around anywhere, right? I had super navigation skills. I was the person that you could be like, how do I get to whatever? And I could totally figure it out. And now that I've been driving by GPS, I've realized that it's much harder for me to figure out like where, you know, finding the best way to get somewhere. So I use that as an example to show you guys, like, as much as technology helps us, it can also be detrimental to our well-being. So take a timeout. You know, maybe your life is such that it's not realistic for you to take an entire day away from your Facebook, Instagram, phone, or whatever. But remember, people, not that long ago in my lifetime, we used to live without it and be completely fine. So I think you can take a couple hours off, if not a whole day. Number three, some noise-canceling headphones. So I guess if you don't have the means to buy these things, and they're wildly expensive, but so worth it, try to just get quiet in general. You know, like if you normally jam out in the car, you know, turn up the tunes or NPR or whatever, turn that off, right? If you process via talking with your friends a lot, make some time for actual quiet inner reflection, you know. And if you find it hard, there are actually some really great resources out there for you guys. Some of them were actually mentioned at this last Self-Care is Sexy brunch. Somebody had mentioned a podcast called 10% Happier with Dan Harris, and they said it was basically the gateway drug to meditation and quiet contemplation, which I thought was kind of a fun way to put it. There was also mention of an app called Headspace, so you guys can check that out. But really, the point of this self-care idea is that we could all use some quiet time, right? Not just zoning out on TV time. I mean, actual being quiet time. Give it a try. It's amazing. I love it. Number four, develop boundaries. Now, I you know, this is something I've been working on lately, and we're going to have a whole show on it with actual examples on how to say no in different situations. And I'd love to hear from you guys on how working with boundaries and developing boundaries has been for you. But once you recognize that you're overstimulated, you know, and you've kind of got that pattern down, it's time to set some boundaries. And you know what? For a lot of us, this can be super hard, especially if this is a new practice for you. But you know what? You've got to learn how to say no. You've got to learn how to stand up for yourself. And like I said, we're going to have a show all about that to give you some real life tips on how to do that. We're even going to talk to one of my really good friends who has been a champion of the no. Shout out to Kate. All right. Number five on my tips for how to combat the overstimulation: ghost, right? I have a confession. I absolutely love ghosting. I love it. I do. I'm so sorry. It's me. I'm being honest with y'all. I love it when I'm at a social gathering and I recognize that I've had my fill, right? And I just make the decision to go and I do it. I freaking love it. I look for times when I could do that. And for me, it's absolutely the easiest way to draw a boundary and just honor myself, right? Just leaving a stimulating and overstimulating situation when you're ready to go, it's amazing. And I did this during my vacation last year to Disneyland. And if you want to talk about the mother load of overstimulation, fucking Disneyland is the overload, right? I was really overstimulated by the crowd and the noise and the kids and the ride and all the food smells, just all of it. It was too much, right? And I bowed out from our little group and I went back to the hotel for some serious quiet R&R, you know. And when I got back to the hotel, I didn't turn on the TV. I didn't start scrolling through Facebook. I just decided I needed some quiet time. I didn't even pick up a book, you know, or read or anything. I just got back. I had a great big glass of water and I sat quietly on the edge of the bed until it was time to get up and get ready for dinner. And at first, honestly, you guys, it can be uncomfortable to just be sitting there quiet, not doing anything. And I felt kind of bad. You know, I'm on vacation. I spent all this fucking money to go to Disneyland and do all this fun stuff. And here I am just sitting in the hotel like a lump. But I really needed that recharge time. It was the only way that I was going to have any kind of fun later that night with my dinner with Mickey, which turned out amazeballs. And I know that it might not have had I not just taken that little time out and kind of left the party early, right? So I recommend this practice, and just make sure you're not crossing the line from self-care to selfish. You know, if you have people at the party that need to know that you're leaving, let them know gracefully and go, or pre-plan with your friends that you've got a way home and you're going to take care of yourself. It's just important that we keep an eye on crossing that line from self-care to selfish. So in this example, let's say you get to the party or the event, you've had a long week, you become overstimulated, you recognize it, right? You take some kind of action like ghosting or like leaving when you're ready. And now what do you do to recover from the overstimulation? Well, I've got 10 different self-care ideas on how you can recover from overstimulation, which again, if you're listening in real time, today is Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving holiday can be a very overstimulating experience, especially for my introverts out there. Big heart and shout out to you guys. So I want you to really take the time to recover after the overstimulation you're about to experience. So 10 different ways for recovering once you've been overstimulated. Number one, take a nap or sleep. And you guys, I know I sound like a broken record. It's like every week I mention sleep as a self-care tip. And I mention it every week because it's so goddamn important. It is the simplest thing that you can do to take care of yourself. And you develop so many skills when you do that. One, you're setting boundaries with other people, whomever, whatever responsibilities, by saying, I gotta go to bed. Two, you're really nurturing yourself and giving yourself healthy recharge time. Three, you're quiet, you know, you're resting your body, you're out of your head, and you're getting a different kind of self-care. It's the easiest thing you can do. Number two on my self-care ideas for recovering from overstimulation is something called EFT or tapping. Now, I'm not going to get all into it because that could be a whole show in and of itself. And maybe that will be if that's something you want to learn about, or you want if you want me to get an expert or a guest on here to talk about it, hit me up. My email is Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. And I will talk at length about tapping, but basically it is a practice that you can do that you're hitting trigger points in a specific series, in a specific rhythm and cadence and order that is going to help calm you down. And it's been known to really help a lot of people with anxiety. So there's an idea. Number three on my tips, aromatherapy. So, you know, it could be some sage or some sweet grass. It could be one of your favorite candles. It could be something, it could be coffee. You could just go stick your nose in a bag of coffee. You know, if you find yourself overstimulated and just overloaded and you're freaking out, aromatherapy can really help. There's something that happens, right, when you actually sniff something that smells good. There is a thing called scent association. And if you've ever had a memory triggered by a scent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's a good tip. Number four on how to recover from this overstimulation is time management. I wanted to talk to you guys about this. This is going to be a topic as well. There is a technique that I implore you to try. And if you've not heard of this before, it's an incredible practice that helps to organize. So let's say you're out at the Thanksgiving gathering. There's family and dogs and TV and it's chaos and crazy. And maybe it gets a little political and uncomfortable and you're just feeling all sorts of stressed out and overstimulated. You decide to ghost like a champ because you're a self-care guru. You get home and you're just freaking overwhelmed. Well, a good self-care practice to kind of bring it all back to center is to open up your passion planner, look at your calendar, and start thinking about and plan for future events to combat the overstimulation. It helps bring you back down to a focus. It helps you prepare for later. And it also does something that's really helped me, which is it gives me a place to direct all of that stimulation. And looking at my calendar or looking at my day planner, my passion planner, and seeing sort of what's coming up or what my focus is, it really brings me all back to focus. If you're a returning listener, you know that I am a champion of the passion planners. And these things, this book I'm telling you, this journal, is so much more than you think it is. This passion planner is something that I religiously open up and read and review, and it helps calm me down. It helps focus me. It helps me to celebrate my success. And when you're feeling overstimulated, that's one of the best things you can do for yourself. Number five on my self-care ideas on how to recover from overstimulation, play. And I really think that playing has been underrated. You know, we have got to develop a little bit more silly, right? And when I say play, I mean not just Candy Crush, right? I mean actually play a game, you know, break out the Monopoly or the, you know, the board game Life or Cards Against Humanity is a fun one, you know, or a dice game, something, cards, anything you can do to play and maybe do some adult coloring. I've got a whole episode on that. Get yourself into the fun zone, right? Take yourself away from the overstimulated, overwhelmed, and do something fun. Maybe was there a game that you used to play as a kid that you love that you haven't played in a million years? I remember when I was a kid, our favorite game was this game called Mileborn, and it was a card game that was about road trips, and you'd have to go miles per hour, and you get a flat tire, and it was like this really, it was Canadian, I think. But anyway, it was this really fun game that we used to play, and as an adult, I was thinking like, you know, it's pretty crazy that I'll play other games, you know, like Scrabble or whatever, but that I've somehow lost the drive to play these fun games that I did as a kid. So, you know, play with a yo-yo, you know, do something that's fun, that's not, you know, on the phone or on the computer. And if you are a gamer, if you're a video game player, if that's a self-care method for you, go for it. Just something that can be fun, that can help take your focus away from the stimulation. Number six on my 10 list of self-care ideas to recover from overstimulation, swear. Yes, you fucking heard me right. Swear. So let's say you've been to one of these holiday gatherings and you're completely overloaded, right? Or you've gone to a game, a basketball game or a hockey game, and you're totally overstimulated. Well, if you have the opportunity, I encourage you to create the opportunity to sit in your car and just yell out the most horrific and grotesque profanity that you can muster and let it rip, people. I'm telling you right now, this is a great way to bring you back down from overstimulation. Scream the F word as loud as you possibly can. And if it's appropriate, do it right now. You're gonna see how invigorating and actually relaxing it can be. It can kind of be like a purging release, right? Just to yell out a big ol' F bomb and let it all go. So if you have been feeling overstimulated, overwhelmed, your mind is racing and you can't get a handle on it, go outside, scream to the top of your lungs a big ol' freaking curse word. I love it. Number 7 on my ideas for self-care after stimulation, take a bath. This can be a way to kind of bring your head back into focus while soothing your body. You know, get into it. I've mentioned this many times as a self-care tip, but it's worth repeating because I want you guys to start recognizing that these things that we're doing for self-care, they seem sometimes mundane or simple, but how many times have you taken a bath this week? Like, really think about it. When's the last time you gave yourself a 2.5 hour bubble bath where you have to re-add hot water, okay? These are the kinds of things that I want to remind you that you can build time in to do. Number 8 on my list of ways to recover from overstimulation is to empower yourself. Now, I know that this sounds like a real generalistic and vague thing, and I want you to really take ownership of what empowering yourself looks like. I'm going to give you a specific example to kind of get your juices flowing, but I really want you to think personally about how you would do this for yourself. So for me, when I'm feeling overstimulated or I've been out to an event and I'm overwhelmed, one of the ways that I can recover from that is to kind of retreat. I've got my passion planner and there's a journaling portion to it. And I write down the things that I have accomplished, the successes that I have. I'll write a letter to future self to tell myself thank you for taking the time and recognizing that I'm overstimulated and that I need a time out. So I'll write the letter, I'll say, you know, dear Chris, I just want you to know you're a fucking badass. You're amazing. You started this podcast from just an idea and you've made it into something great. And thank you so much for taking 10 minutes out of your day to just be quiet and recover from that crazy fun but overstimulating basketball game, hockey game, family gathering, whatever. And I'll tuck that little note into a coat or a pair of pants, or I'll slip it into a book, you know, and I'll forget about it. And this is such a wonderful, fun way for me to, like, kind of when I'm going about things, to be like, whoa, a little surprise from past self. Love it. Do it all the time. Highly recommend it. Number 9, do something just because it makes you happy. Now, I want this to hit home with you guys, because this is your challenge for this week. This is your self-care sexy challenge for the week. Please do one thing today, right now, just because it makes you happy. So for me, some examples, and again, this goes back to, you've got to know yourself. What makes me happy is not always going to be what makes you happy. But for me, one of the things I love to do is I love to blow bubbles, a little, like, you know, wand in the soap thing and blow bubbles. I love taking my little doggy for a walk. That's one of the things that I, you know, even if he's had a walk today, I'll take him on another one just because I need it. He doesn't know the difference. He loves it. Something else that I do that I just do it just because it makes me happy is I'll paint little smiley faces on random fucking things. Like, you know, like random screws. I've done it to light switches. Sometimes I do it to my household cleaning products. I'll just draw little smiley faces on random stuff just because it makes me happy. There's been times that I've been known to don a little clown nose just because it makes me happy, and it's a fun thing to do. It gets a lot of looks and people love it, and it's something that I can do that's just for me, that's has no rhyme or reason. It's just because it makes me happy. So really take the time this week and find something that you love to do just because it makes you happy. Number 10, the last self-care idea I have for recovering from overstimulation, came from one of our self-care sexy community members, Nico. I just want to send a great shout out to Nico. This lady is a champion and a warrior, and she actually is a veteran. She's an incredible person and a part of my life, and she came up with this tip, and I love it. It's simple, it's easy. And it's we're going to call it finger tapping, because I don't know, it's not really an official thing. It's just a practice that she uses. So I can't show you because we're not video, but try to follow along with me. So hold out your hands. You got your thumb, your finger. Hopefully you got all your fingers. And what you do is you tap your pointer finger to your thumb. So kind of like the whatever. And then your middle finger and so on and so on and so on. And then you just go back. So it's pointer finger, flip off finger, ring finger, pinky. Pinky, ring, flip off pointer. And back and forth and back and forth. And you can do it one hand or two hands. But what it does is it actually, I can't explain it. I'm sure there's some nerdy psychologist out there who could explain why and how this works, but it brings down the anxiety level. It levels out your breathing, it calms you, and it gives you a way to come back to your physical body. A lot of times when we're experiencing the overstimulation, that's happening in our mind. Even though it's overstimulation of our senses, we first recognize it in the mind. And so this practice, and again, you're just touching your pointer finger to your thumb, your flip-off finger to your thumb, your ring finger to your thumb, your pinky finger to your thumb, and then back again. Pinky, ring, flip-off, pointer. Pointer, flip-off, ring, pinky. Back and back and back and back. Over and over and over again. And you can do it to a rhythm, a cadence. You can slow it down. You can speed it up. Some people count while they do it. Anyway, it's a great way that if you're in an overstimulating situation and you really need an emergency way out, you guys have got to try it. It sounds a little hokey, but I swear to you, I've used it and it works. So big shout out to my brave and amazing friend, Nico. Thank you so much for that tip. All right, you guys, I just want to recap that list. So some ways that you can recover when you're overstimulated is to take a nap, do that EFT tapping thing, maybe some aromatherapy, get into some time management, play, have fun, swear real loud, take a bath, empower yourself, do something just because it makes you happy, and we're calling it finger tapping. All right. So, you know, there you have it. If you find yourself overloaded today and you need to just take a minute, take a walk, lock yourself in the bathroom and stare at your phone for 15 minutes, or just leave wherever you are if it's uncomfortable. You know, do what's best for your self-care. And if you guys are looking for some additional insights on how to handle this, you know, wonderful yet sometimes totally chaotic season, check out episode number 12. It's called Overwhelmed, Overloaded, and Overbooked. You can find all the past episodes on my website or through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, SoundCloud, and really anywhere else that you might listen to podcasts. All right, you guys, that's it for this week. Happy Thanksgiving, friends. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have a story and you'd like to share and want to be on the show, please email me. It's Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. We got some really great content coming your way, you guys, so stay tuned. And remember that self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.